When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sheila Shoiga, and this is Ready to Be Real Conversations, the podcast series where I chat to people of all walks of life. Some names you'll recognise, others you might not, but my hope is that these conversations will at times inspire, challenge, educate, comfort, or simply entertain you. This week, I speak to baker and owner of the Cake Cuppery, Kat Lawler.
You have to make the decision to change, because like I am 100 million times happier now that I've made my decision. And even though I caused a lot of pain to myself and to other people and to my ex-husband, like, I wouldn't change what I did for anything, for anybody, in a million years.
Originally from Dublin, Kat now lives in Wexford with her girlfriend Louise and their two cats. And in this conversation, we chat about listening to your gut instinct, overcoming challenges in life, and ultimately finding joy. Kat speaks openly about the end of her marriage, obviously from her perspective, and out of respect for her ex-husband. He's not named during the conversation, as we fully appreciate how difficult hearing a conversation like this might be for him. Here it is. So Kat, I will try not to fangirl too much.
Stop.
With you. But I am thrilled that you're here. I was so delighted when I sent you the email that you said yes straight away.
Amazing, of course.
To being here. I am thrilled because, okay, so the backstory, which you know, is that I saw you for the first time on telly. We were working out about 10 years ago. You were on a TV show called Domestic Divas.
I was.
And it was a great show.
Oh, thank you.
So actually, it's probably better coming from you than from me. What, like, to those listening who maybe never came across it or didn't get to see it at the time, what was it?
It's so funny because sometimes I'll still get the odd L1 stopping me and being like, oh, I recognize you from RTE. I'm like, oh, jeez. But it was a really interesting experience. It was like a show kind of to try and help domesticate people who really didn't know how to look after their homes properly. So we would come in, me and another girl, Ashley, we would just come in and we would just help people out with tidying their homes, organizing things,
putting washers on.
Yeah, just really random things, because people don't seem to know this. I don't know what it is. It's like, yeah, there's a generation of people who, God, I don't want to put down their parents, but it's like they were raised to know how to do nothing. So it's like they just don't know how to look after themselves. And to me, that's just odd. So,
but even I think I'm okay at a lot of stuff at home. I even learned watching the show. Oh, like, cool. Yeah, you brought it up a notch.
Stunning. Thank you.
Yeah. Amazing DIY skills. And just repairing clothes and all the bits that you did, and just top tips.
It was unique.
It was good fun.
It was good.
It was great. And then, of course, through that, I think I discovered you're also amazing at baking.
Thank you.
So then I followed you on Instagram and was drooling over your cakes. So the Cake Cuppery,
yes,
is your business.
That's my baby. So I spent my whole 20s working really hard on my cake business. I just started it from like a hobby. And after I did psychology in college, I was like, I don't know if this is what I want to do. Even though I'm really interested in psychology, I was like, do I want to try and figure out other people's minds if I can't even figure out my own? So I was like, maybe I'll do something more creative, because I'm very creative. And yeah, it just took off. It was kind of a hobby, then it started to be a business, and then yeah, it just kind of snowballed. But I've had the opportunity to do a lot of amazing cakes for a lot of cool people, so yeah, it's nice to bring something to someone's day that's very personal, but also it's a really happy point in their, you know, their celebration. Whereas it is stressful on me, but it's nice to see people's faces when they see something yeah. you've made for them. So yeah, it's pretty awesome.
So when did you officially kick off the business?
2012, I think. I say approximately because I was kind of doing bits and bobs here and there, so I can't exactly say.
Yeah.
But I know I did my first wedding cake in 2012, so that's kind of when I said I officially.
Because wedding cakes is really, that's a big step up from your regular birthday cake, mm-hmm. because it's, you know, it's a mammoth task.
Oh, absolutely.
And some wedding cakes are like, oh my God, they're towers, they're huge.
Yeah. And I think I did cupcakes first. That's how I started it. So it was like, I was trying to figure out a business name, and I was like, every business name for cakes was taken, especially in the States and stuff like that. So I couldn't get a website domain. So it was like, the cupcakery was everywhere. And I was like, what about the cake cuppery? Like a place where cakes are cupped, like a cupcake. So that's kind of where it came from.
Yeah.
So it was only cupcakes first. And then I was like, people were asking me about wedding cakes, and I was like, okay, I'm just going to just do it. Feel the fear and do it anyway, you know, the way. And yeah, I did it, and then it just kind of went from there. But they're actually a lot less stressful than cupcakes, because cupcakes take way longer.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. Oh my God. I used to do these vintage cupcakes with like loads of decoration, and I could have like 160 of them. I had to do decorations on every single one of them. So the time that took me compared to a wedding cake, and you can't really charge that much for a cupcake. You know, try to, but people are like, oh, it's only a cupcake. So yeah, but you learn.
And what I've noticed about, because I follow a lot of food accounts, because I love looking at imagery of food.
Me too.
Yeah. And cakes are just so beautiful. But what I have noticed about your cakes in particular, whether it's a cupcake or whether it's a cake pop or whatever you're doing, it's so detailed. And it's those little fine details that I think set you apart. And I'm just wowed by your imagery. Genuinely
Thank
am.
You.
Anyone, I'm sure plenty of people who are listening to this podcast already follow you, because you have a lot of followers. But if you haven't, go into your Instagram page and have a look. Just scroll down and drool over the images, because I can see why it would take so long.
Yeah.
You put a lot of work into it. It's not just a quick squeeze here and there.
Yeah,
it's done.
I am a perfectionist, definitely.
Yeah.
But that's something I've had to work on throughout my life as well, you know, the way, because I take that into everything, and it can be very unfulfilling to be like that, because you're never happy with anything you make. So for so long I would make creations, and now when I look back, I'm like, I'm really proud of that. Like, I'm really happy I did that. But when I was doing it, I was like, I'm so unhappy, because I was like, it's not good enough. It needs to be better. It needs to be better. And I was like always chasing the next better. I need to be better. I need to get here.
Yeah.
Like it was a destination. But if you're a perfectionist, you're always picking at things, always trying to make them better. And it's not good for your head, really. So yeah, it's good because the cakes are beautiful, but you always have to take a step back now. That's what I do now. I'm like, do you know what? Remind yourself that nothing is perfect. There's always going to be a flaw to everything. And I'm much more satisfied with my creations now because I can actually understand that.
We're probably going to get into it naturally as we talk, but it sounds like, you know, there's been a considered examination of you to lead you from being a perfectionist to being okay with maybe not everything being perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. I've had a lot of battles with myself. I'm in therapy now. I have been for the last year consistently, a year and a half actually. But it's the first time I've ever consistently done it, because I think when I was in my early 20s, I knew I needed to go to therapy because I had a lot of stuff go on. My dad died at a young age, and we had a lot of stuff in our family that was unresolved, a lot of things not talked about, just stuff I needed to really break down and understand about myself. And I just never did it. And I think I kind of spent my 20s pushing that away, but I didn't do myself any justice, because if I had looked at that earlier, if I'd had the maturity to look at it earlier, maybe I would have learned more and been able to get out of situations that I was in. But look, it's one of those things. I can't really regret what I've been through, because I'm happy I went through everything I have gone through to understand where I'm at now.
Yeah, I getcha.
if that doesn't sound too rambly.
No, it doesn't at all. It absolutely doesn't. So, so I suppose you're here for a few reasons. You're here because I admire your vibe, what you're about. Your cakes are amazing. But I was also last summer?
Yeah, yeah.
You put up a post on Instagram that I genuinely, when I read it, went, wow, that's really gutsy. And what I got from it was somebody who was really content, but had been through a very difficult time to get to that point. And I had a lot of admiration for you.
Thank you.
So let's talk about, I suppose, rather than Kat and the business, it's more about you and your personal life, which you've already kind of, you know, you've told us a little bit.
Giving
there.
A little bit.
Yeah. So in your 20s, you know, and the beginning of the business, you're focused on making gorgeous cakes. And at this time, you were also in a relationship.
Mm-hmm. I was.
And you were getting ready to get married.
Yeah, quite a serious relationship from quite an early age. So I was 23 when I met my ex-husband, and I got into a very serious, steady relationship with him very quickly. And I grew my business alongside that. And I was already going through a lot of really bad anxiety, like severe anxiety, so bad that I'd get up in the morning and I would be just crying. Because I couldn't face the day, just because I was just wrapped up with this constant anxiety. But I just put that down to, I guess it was a lot of stuff. But as I said, my dad died when I was nearly 18. So I was 17. And then my mom and her sisters, who, like my aunties, who I would have been very close with growing up, they were almost like second moms to me. They had a falling out and stopped talking. So it was almost like there was two big deaths. And suddenly when they fell out, I was around 22, and it was like it hit me like a ton of bricks. I didn't mourn for any of it. It just hit me with anxiety. And then I was just broken up, and I was trying to push through every day and get through with my relationship, get through with my business. But all I wanted to do was run. I would fantasize about escaping my life, which sounds mad, but I would literally sit there and have these like dreams of driving down Route 66 in America in a car with no one around me and just driving, just going.
Yeah.
I just felt very trapped in all aspects of my life, even with my business. I think that's why now I really enjoy it. But then it was like a chain around me for so long, because I felt like I needed to keep going with it. Same with my relationship. I felt like when I got to a certain point that I wasn't happy, really, when I looked at it, I just was like, well, it's, you know, that mentality where it's like, I've put in so much to this, I can't leave it.
Yeah.
It's like a thing where it's like, oh no, I've committed this many years to this. I can't. Who am I without this?
So were you having those thoughts before, I suppose, the big day came?
Yeah. Yeah, I was.
Yeah.
If I'm honest. And it's not even that when I realized things weren't right in my marriage, like I knew something wasn't right before that as well, but I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't specifically put, you know, like an actually say what the thing was, but I just knew something wasn't right. Something in my body was telling me something was wrong, and how I knew it was my gut.
Yeah.
Another way people always say, trust your gut. And I can't like that is my one thing now above everything else. I will trust how my gut feels on everything, because my gut told me for so many years that there was something wrong. Like I was so like, I made myself sick. I had IBS, everything, like issues with digestion, all that kind of stuff. But it was all because I was internalizing this extreme anxiety, because my body was like, it was like that fight or flight where it was like, something's wrong, you need to get away from this. And I just wasn't. I was like, I can't, I have to bury it. I have to ignore it. And the worst part is, in psychology, I remember one of the classes we did was really interesting. It was about like repression and how if you repress like something, it will come back. It will always come back. Like whatever you push down, it's never going to go stay down. It's going to come back. And that would haunt me all the time, because I would think to myself, it's going to come back one day. It was like this chip I was like on my shoulder. It was like, it's there, it's niggling, and it's telling me something's not right and I need to face it. But I just was like, no, I can't. I have to act like everything's okay. I have to deal with this.
Yeah.
So yeah, mental.
What was the turning point?
That's an interesting one. I think COVID hit and I realized my relationship and my business were beyond draining me in every aspect. So what happened was, first off, I was able to take a break from my business at the start of COVID because, like, I didn't have to. Like, there was some bakers I know who are amazing and they worked through COVID. They, like, they would start doing at-home boxes, you know, the way, like, delivering to people's doors, things like that. But at the start, my majority of my work was wedding cakes. All weddings were rescheduled.
Yeah.
And like christenings and all that kind of stuff, nobody's having them. I might have got the odd one every so often, but like nobody was really having them at the start anyway.
Mm.
So I was like, okay, I'm going to take a break, like for a few months anyway. And I feel guilty when I say this, but that was honestly for me the best thing, one of the best things that ever happened to me in my life at that time, because I had a chance to actually like really just stop worrying about my business, stop trying to push things, stop trying to grow, because I knew the world was stopping to some capacity.
Yeah.
So I felt like I almost had permission to slow down and to stop. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And I would imagine, I'm only imagining the amount of wedding cakes that were, you know, in the diary for you.
All mental.
Yeah, huge amount, I'd say.
So it was just...
So getting an opportunity to stop and have a break.
Yeah.
It's probably huge, yeah.
Yeah. It just, I really needed to just stop because I could feel it in my body. I could feel it everywhere. It was really just affecting me. I was running off adrenaline every day. I was waking up in the morning and I was getting a punch of adrenaline in my stomach and I was out of the bed and that was the whole day. I was like, this is definitely going to make me really sick, like at some point, because I touch wood or wherever wood is, wood. I've been really healthy most of my life.
Yeah.
So I was making myself sick through all this. And then I think I realized, so we were in my family home at the time when COVID hit in Dublin, in Lucan, and two of my sisters moved back in with us. So it was like my mom, my ex-husband, two of my sister's girlfriend, my youngest sister is also actually gay, which is
okay,
interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there was loads of us in the house. It was mad.
Yeah.
But it was a bit of crack, you know? We were all killing each other. But my second youngest sister, she's 10 years apart from me. We're quite similar. Like, we have a lot of similarities, but like we get on really well. So for me, that time during COVID, me and her were like literally glued to each other. We did so much stuff together. We go out for our walks, have our coffee, do our workouts, cook gorgeous food, just, you know, really explore recipes. We just had a great time. It was lovely for about 2 months.
Yeah.
But I think during that, it made me realize, like, when my sister moved back out, I was heartbroken. Like, I remember just feeling like I had my heart torn out of my chest. And it made me realize how much I was missing from my relationship.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It was like really the togetherness,
the connection, the crack, all of that was coming.
All of it was my sister, like my sister. Yeah. I love my sister, is just unreal. But to be honest, all my sisters are unreal. I have three and they're amazing, and so is my mom. But you know, I think that just made me realize, I was like, you know, and he was living in the house with me at the time as well. But there was just, we were just like two different people with a wall up, just like that. We could be in the same room together, we could be talking, but there was just no connection there. I've never felt loneliness like it when I was not supposed to feel lonely, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that was tough. And even saying that out loud, admitting that to him, was the hardest. Like, it's just so hard. Oh my God. I think it would have been worse, it would have been so much easier if he was a really horrible person and he treated me really badly and he cheated on me left, right and center or whatever. But he's a lovely person. And that was the hardest part, to lose him as a person in my life.
When does, I don't mean to be crude, no, but I suppose going from marrying a man to now being in a relationship with a woman, when does it dawn on you, wait a second, not alone is the person not right, but
the gender is not right.
Yeah.
It doesn't really dawn on you, I don't think. Like, I was waking up, well, for me anyway, it didn't. I was waking up, like, when it all happened, I was waking up in the morning going, oh my God, my life is like an episode of Jeremy Kyle. Like, it's like, you know, like a tagline. But it was like, I'm with a man, but I'm in love with a woman. Do you know that kind of thing? I was like, this is not my life. It was mad. It was like an outer body, surreal, weird experience mixed with happiness and complete and utter grief.
Okay,
it was bizarre.
Yeah.
All I can really, like, I think through going through things in therapy and stuff, I've realized that, like, I spent my whole life, like, I think because I'm the oldest of four, my mom and my dad, like, they separated when I was younger as well. And then my dad passed. But before that, like, my dad wasn't there. He was an alcoholic. He was not really around at all. So I would help my mom raise my sisters. And through therapy and through psychology, I've learned that, like, I was kind of not, I don't mean to be, to talk bad about my mom, because I love my mom. She's amazing. And she had a really hard upbringing. But I was parentified at a very young age. So I was like a second parent, and I didn't understand my own needs. I would always be looking out for other people all the time. And I think that's why I stayed in my relationship so much longer than I should have, because I was so worried about hurting him. And I was so worried about hurting my family. Like, I the pain that it caused other people was what I was more concerned about. So I was like, I can take the pain, even though it's making me sick. I'll just deal with it, but I can't hurt other people.
Right.
But I was hurting myself, which is mad when you really think about it. I was like, why am I doing this to me? Like, but I'm keeping everybody else happy. It didn't make any sense. So I think for so long I didn't understand my own needs. So I think that's why when I found myself having feelings for a woman, I was like, what the hell is going on here? I was like, who am I? It was like someone turning on a light switch. I was like, I didn't know this could happen.
Yeah.
Do you know? It's very strange. Yeah.
Because there was a disconnection, I suppose. You were kind of in this.
Very odd.
Yeah.
But I think before I ended my marriage, I had feelings for my now girlfriend, Louise. Hmm. So I had feelings for her. And I was like, this is not happening. This is not a thing. This is not real. This is like, it's just something. And then it's funny when everything happened. Oh my God, the amount of stuff people were saying, like, in terms of, they were like, oh, she's having a mental breakdown, she's having a midlife crisis. I'm like, hon, I'm 35. Like, maybe there is such thing as a 35 crisis, but I was like, I'm pretty sure I'm not having a midlife crisis. Like, I think I'd know. Why would I suddenly just decide to be with a woman? Do you know? I don't know. People were, you know, there was lots of...
That's probably their own, it's reflecting their own stuff, and maybe they're them being uncomfortable and needing some sort of plausible reason if they felt uncomfortable with it.
Yeah.
Perhaps that's what that was.
Yeah.
So true. Strange. So let's go back to, so the house in Lucan with the sisters and the mother and the then husband.
I know, it was mad.
So your sister leaves, you're missing her.
Yeah.
And so, it's becoming more apparent, but he still doesn't know.
No, hasn't got a clue.
Right.
And then it was like, my mom had our family home in Wexford. So I didn't go down there a lot. It's in Gorey. But it's a lovely, like, it's kind of a 70s style house, but like, it's, you can see the sea, like, it's amazing. So my mom was like, I'm going to sell the house now, because there's loads of people looking for houses now down, you know, down in Wexford because of COVID and stuff. And my mom had actually gone through a really, really bad separation, not from my dad, from, she was with another man. So she had been through the mill and we'd all been through the mill with him. So we went down to clear out the house and kind of get sorted. And I had this mad idea, because I was just constantly trying to deflect my, how I was feeling to something else. So I was always like, oh, let's book a holiday. I'll be, you know, that'll distract me. Let's do this. Let's do that. I was always looking at something that was going to distract me from how I was feeling. So I thought to mom, I was like, mom, why would you sell the house? It's deadly. Like, why don't we all just move down here? And like, you know, because I was looking at buying somewhere in Dublin and well, just outside Dublin, maybe Kildare or something, because I was in Lucan at the time. And then, it was a thing. And then my auntie says to my mom, I think that's a great idea. Maybe you should all move down there. So it ended up being the case where me, my ex-husband and my mom moved down to Gorey, and we ended up starting to renovate this house. So my mom was not going to sell it anymore, and it's renovated now that it's a complete split level house. So the basement of the house is my mom's own home. It's her own apartment. Well, yeah. it's a full house downstairs, and then I'm completely separate on the upper part of the house. So it's pretty cool. It's like co-generational living, I heard. That's what it is, but it's pretty cool.
Brilliant.
But yeah, I lived upstairs with my ex-husband. Mm. And yeah, and then we were in the middle of that. We had just moved back into the house after having it renovated. So, and then I just dropped the bomb on it. Like I just said, we're done one day.
And did it just come out like that?
Oh God. If I could go back, that's probably one thing I would change. I would do differently. I just never said anything. We didn't communicate. So I think that's one thing that is so important in a relationship. I did not realize that. I didn't even realize we didn't communicate, but we didn't talk about anything that really mattered, like properly. So I think that's why it was very hard on him. It was very hard on my whole family because I buried everything. I kept everything to myself.
So was it a shock to everyone?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
My mom thought I was going to tell her that I had cancer, which sounds terrible. But okay. When I came in to tell her, she nearly fell on the floor. Like she nearly lost her footing because she got so nervous because she was like, what's wrong? Yeah. She never thought it was that. I hid everything so well. But my mom has been a master of hiding things her whole life, keeping strong. Outside appearances matter, you know, like being the strong woman, not telling people how you really feel about things, not having your own needs met, just suiting everybody else. And I think, yeah, I definitely learned that. That rubbed off on me, and I was just always looking at how other people would feel. I can't let him down.
Yeah.
I can't hurt him. I can't hurt his family. It didn't just become about me and him. It became about him. It became about his parents. It became about his siblings. It became about my family, how everyone would react.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was the hardest part.
And that is just a reflection of I suppose, you being, you know, a good person. And I think anytime we make really tough decisions that have the domino effect, I think a lot of us feel that way.
Yeah.
Like I've been there, and I'm resonating with what you're saying, because that's something I thought of as well when things were in a former life were ending for me. It isn't, you feel like it's not just about the two people, it's about all the other people involved and how they will receive the news and how they will be about it. So it's stuff like this is really big. I mean, look, ending, anyone who's been through getting married and ending a marriage knows nobody does it lightly.
Mm.
You do it when it's absolutely necessary. But because you've made that, you know, commitment when you marry someone, you're not going to do it flippantly.
Mm-hmm.
When you say we're done and it's over,
you have to mean it.
And people do mean it.
Yeah.
Right, so you say to him, we're done.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right.
Like that. And I don't think he didn't really grasp that it was real, because he moved out. Well, he left that night, and my cousin was actually working with him at the time. My cousin was staying in Gorey. So he went and stayed with my cousin while it was going on. And then he kind of messaged me and was like, okay, I'm moving back in. We're going to sort this out.
Okay.
You know, like he just thought I was having, but at the time I didn't tell him. Like I told him we were done because, like, obviously Louise was the catalyst for me ending my marriage, but like she wasn't the reason it was over. It was over before that. I had mourned it for a while in my relationship. And I think I wanted him to know that it was over because how I felt about it, but I didn't tell him about her straight away. But it's better to be honest, and it will always come out, I think.
And also, I think you being here, having this conversation, I'm sure this takes a lot of courage to actually speak as openly as you're speaking. And I admire you a lot, because again, I suppose you're probably thinking of different people and different ears, how they will receive it. But all you can do is speak your own truth.
Yeah.
And be honest from your perspective. That's all any of us can do in life.
Yeah.
And sometimes when we're speaking honestly, that can have the impact of making somebody happy or not. But we have no control over that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's kind of go then to the time you met Louise, sometime prior to that.
Yeah. So I had actually met her the year before, and we were working together. Now, this is the mad thing. As I said, you know, you don't know. You can say what you want and it doesn't, like, people interpret things differently and they say things no matter what. I think that's one thing I've learned about going through this is that, you know, it's like, what is it? Opinions are like assholes. Everyone has one.
Yeah.
Because I've never come across the level of judgment, opinions, stories that people have convoluted, like thinking I was having an affair for like a year, you know, ongoing. Okay. I would never do that. That's just, it's just not who I am. I'm not one of these people that could live a double life. That's interesting. I could live a double life because I wasn't being honest. So clearly I was living to some extent a double life, but I wouldn't be able to do that to someone. I knew when I was going to start something up with Louise that it was done with me and my ex-husband, that I had to tell him that it was over because I just couldn't do that. It's just not the type of person I am. But, you know, as I said, there was a lot of speculation and words had that we were carrying on for a year.
The damage of rumors.
Oh, I swear to God.
But also, who
Chinese was, whispers.
Yeah. And also, like, no one has a right to judge anyone else and their decisions and their lives. Like, that's the thing about life.
Mm.
We, you know, stay in your own lane, doing your own thing. But anyway, there is a lot of that in life, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry that you were the victim of that. Right. So you met and you were working together. You were getting on. When did you think there was something more happening than just, I like her, she's cool, we're pals?
So when I met her, there was something about her. And that's all I can actually, that's how I can describe it. There was something between us and I don't know what it was from day one.
Okay.
So what happened really was, it was very random. So I had kind of been thinking this for a while, but I was like, no, as I said, bury it. Everything's fine. I'm now living in Wexford. I like, all is good. Decorate the house. So that's what I was doing at the time. You know yourself.
Okay.
Painting.
Yeah. Throwing yourself into
that. I love a bit of painting. So I was cutting an edge here and there, delight with my life. So I was just keeping busy like that, concentrating on the house, concentrating on decorating, because I love all that as well, because it's creative, you know. So we were on a night out and I had a bit to drink and we were dancing and we were at a bar and I kind of was chatting to her and I remember a guy trying to talk to me and she wasn't impressed by him speaking to me. And it was funny. And then I was like, is this all in my head? You know, I was thinking that. But I remember thinking to myself, how will I ever know if she feels anything for me? You know, I'll never know. It'll just be something I just never find out because I'm never going to tell her. I'm never going to face this. This is not happening. And then I ended up, we were in the bathroom and I ended up telling her. I didn't tell her. I said to her, is there something between us? And she said, what do you mean? I said, there's something between us, isn't there? And I don't remember what she said because I was very drunk. Terrible. But anyway, I was very hungover the next day and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to die. I can't go into work. Like, I can't, you know, I was mortified.
Did she not respond or do you not remember?
Well, no, she said, so I think she said that there was, like, I think she said, you're not, no, she, that's what she said. She said, because she told me after, she said, you're not imagining it.
Okay.
Now, Louise's came out years ago. She came out in her early 20s. So she's like, I knew Louise was only interested in women. So I don't know. I was kind of wondering, did she like me?
Yeah.
But she said something like that. But anyway, I assumed, I was like, this is going to, like, she was supposed to be off for the week after, off work. And then I got to work on the Monday morning and I saw her car outside and I was like, oh, sweet mother of God, I can't go in. Anyway, I went in and she was really smiley to me and chatty and everything was fine, so, like, acting like everything was normal. It's like, grand. She doesn't remember. She's just acting like everything's fine. Everything's fine. So I was out with one of the other girls on my lunch and she sent me a text message just asking me about something completely different. Like, she sent me a picture of something. And then she said, she made a joke about the Saturday night. She was like, did you know, because you and your, you know, your confessions on Saturday night, she made some sort of joke. And I was like, I think she was sussing out, did I mean it?
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, don't worry about it. I'm not going to say, like, she said something like, oh, don't worry about it. It was only a bit of a laugh. Like, she kind of brushed it off. Like, she gave me a get out clause if I, which was really nice of her. Yeah. Like, if I suddenly was like, oh my God, I am so, like, I didn't mean that. I don't want anyone to know. I could have said, oh, thank God she's,
yeah.
Do you know that kind of way?
Yeah, yeah.
But then I think she was also wondering, was I being real about it? And then I was like, I remember sitting there with the phone and I was shaking. And I was like, right, this is the moment. I either tell her, I'd be honest with her, or I just bury it and don't tell her. And then I text her back and I was like, well, what if I, she said something like, "You're, I know you're only messing." And I wrote back, I was like, well, what if I wasn't? I just made a question mark and that's, it just kind of went from there. That's how it happened.
Wow.
So yeah, then we just started texting, we were chatting and yeah, and then we both were like, okay, we have real feelings for each other.
So I suppose at this point, you are curious, you're attracted, you really like her, but there's definitely something else. But I suppose until you actually act on it, is there a wondering, is this, am I just curious for the sake of being curious, or is it, do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, yeah. I think she was worried about that, like, because I had never been with a woman before, you know, and obviously I was married to a man. So I think, like, I'm sure she didn't want to feel like I was going to just try out being with a woman and then leave her high and dry. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
So I didn't, and I also didn't want to make her feel like that either. But I think the type of person I am, I said to her from day one, I was like, I'm only acting out how I genuinely feel. Like, if I feel like something's wrong, like, I'll tell you. And I think that's what I've been learning in therapy, is to really just try and have an honest conversation, even if it's uncomfortable. Because my God, I would steer clear of that in my marriage. I just wouldn't talk about uncomfortable things or things that, and a lot of things made me feel uncomfortable that I wanted to talk about and I didn't. So I said that to her from day one. I was like, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to tell you how I feel. If I get scared or if something feels strange, I'm going to tell, like, I'll tell you, because I have the respect for you, you know? So I think
that's isn't that a great foundation?
Yeah, amazing.
For a relationship. Mm-hmm. Yeah, fantastic.
So important. My God, I didn't realize it, but my God, it's just the most important thing.
So I'm not trying to be crude by asking, but I suppose when you did finally kiss and get together, it was confirmed for you. Okay, this is absolutely right.
Yeah.
This is absolutely right. Okay, brilliant. All the while, you know, you've already had that really difficult conversation. You're now in the process, I suppose, of a separation with your ex-husband. Mm-hmm. You're trying to enjoy the magic of this new relationship. But that's not an easy thing to navigate.
Very hard. Like, I think it's only since kind of the later half of last year and going into this year that I feel like I've been reborn, or like I feel like a new person. I feel like the person I was supposed to be is here. So last year, it was just so, the start of last year, the end of the year before, when we were going through everything, like that Christmas, I was dreading Christmas gone at the start of the year, because the Christmas before was so hard. It was just so hard, because it's just the grief.
Yeah.
Grief is just, it's so, like, it hits you, you know, the way, like, it, you've no idea. It's like a debt. Like, it's like he died. And no matter what, like, I still spent a long time with him, and I had a lot of respect for him as a person. And, you know, the pain I caused, that's what I've spent a lot of time in therapy coming to terms with, is that guilt of what I caused, the pain I caused. But then it was a really tough time, and it was a very mixed emotions time. As you said, it was like, on one hand, I was so excited and happy and, you know, and then on the other half, it was almost like the happiness was like peppered with like bouts of like just pain, like grief. Yeah, and just so, like, Louise was very supportive in terms of giving me space to understand that. Like, I went to, you know, going to my therapy sessions and kind of asking me, was I okay, checking in on me. We had a lot of chats about like you know, if I felt upset, we could talk to each other. Same with her. Like, so that's why, like, from the start, it's been very open with us just trying to talk about things. And
yeah, because I would imagine from her perspective, unless this is an unfair assumption, that there was, would there have been an element of fear for her as well of getting hurt? As in, you know,
I think so. Yeah. Because she wasn't, like, it's uncharted, like, it's unknown, uncharted waters or whatever. It's unknown territory to her too, because she doesn't know that I'm not going to hurt her. Because she doesn't know if that I'm not going to turn around and be like, oh my God, I've had a, you know, like, I've had a breakdown and I just wanted to try this and suddenly I'm done. So I was very mindful not to, yeah, not to hurt her as well, but also to be honest with her. Because I was like, I don't want to then bring my fractured psyche or whatever into this relationship and not be honest with her and then cause this again in a different way.
Yeah, yeah. And look, I suppose the reality of entering any new relationship, whether it's same sex or not, or regardless, there's always an element of, you know, that's what's exciting and terrifying at the same time, that this could last or not. But that's the risk. That is the price of love, I suppose. And that's, you know, none of us can predict what's around the corner.
We don't know. And I think with marriage ending as well, you feel like you're almost like your safety net is gone. So I think because my family home, where I grew up in Castleknock in Dublin, and then I moved to Lucan after my dad died, and then we moved from Lucan to Wexford. So I don't have a home base. I know some people don't anymore, but like some people have their family home that they've gone to for years for the Christmas dinner, or they just visit their parents there. So I felt like I didn't know where my home was, my safety net. Like I had to create that in myself, which was very hard to do because it just felt very scary. And I just felt like I was falling and no one was going to catch me. It was like, because like at the beginning of my relationship, it's like just learning things about Louise. But I didn't, as I said, I didn't know if Louise was going to be in this for real, if she was going to catch me. I had no idea, do you know? So I was like,
yeah,
I'm coming out of this. I don't know what's happening. I'm going to set myself up for more heartache. What am I doing? It was all, it's terrifying, but it's more scary, the thoughts of it, I think, than actually going through it. You know, I spent years building up, what if I wasn't in this marriage anymore? What if I was able to live my life the way I wanted to? What if I was able to be with someone in the future that would want to do the things I'd want to do, or want to live life with me the way I want to? And that was so terrifying to me, to actually end the marriage, that I spent the whole time worrying about that actual act. And that's what had me terrified and almost like, what's the word for it? Debilitated with fear.
Yeah.
But actually doing it, like, it was really hard, but the fear of it was worse.
Yeah.
But you just have to go through it. It's painful regardless. It doesn't matter. But it's painful if you stay and you're not happy. It's painful to end it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when you're on the other side of it, it's like night and day.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And this is what I said to you when I sent the email. I said, I think your story is really inspiring. I think it'll help people who listen, whether, you know, regardless of their sexuality. The important thing here is that a lot of the time we're not listening to ourselves. We're not doing what is right for what we want. We're people pleasing, mm-hmm. and we're going along and we're ticking boxes, and yeah. we're not asking ourselves, do I want this? Am I happy? Is yeah. this the life that I want? You know, mm-hmm. so I think this is going to resonate with a lot of people who listen. Right. So, you're exploring the new relationship. You're trying to navigate the difficulty of stepping away from a marriage. It ain't easy. And then I suppose it's last summer and you decide to take to Instagram. How long did it take you to write the post?
It took me about an hour.
Oh, I was going to say, I thought you were going to say I was writing it for about a week.
No, I
was
sat down. Back to it. I sat down. I'd gone up to Pride. So I hadn't actually been up to Pride ever before. I'd been out years ago in Dublin City Centre when it was on, but I hadn't actually made it a point to go to it. And Lou said to me, sorry, I called her Lou. She said to me, do you want to go up? Like, she was like, I haven't been up in ages. What do you think? Will we go up? And I was like, yeah, go on. Why not? It'd be fun. So we went up and we stayed with a friend of mine. Because we were like, we'll just stay up because, you know, the way, like, if we go out and have a few drinks, it would be too much of a headache to get back to Wexford. But I remember, like, we had a great night, and coming back the next day, we got back to the house, and we had taken some cute pictures together, and I was like, do you know what? I'm just going to write it, because at the time we had worked together and we were kind of stepping away from actual, like, physical gym PT work to do the online.
Yeah, so work. Let's talk about this, because I don't think we haven't really got into it.
Not
yet. So
I'll tell you now. Yeah. But it was like at that time I knew we were kind of stepping away from the gym floor situation, from any, like, I suppose a lot of people kind of knew that we were together. There was a lot of speculation going on the area we were working in and stuff like that. And I was like, you know what, it's just ready to say it now, because all these people who were talking about it and wondering about it, I was like, I'm not going to go up to each of them and give them the satisfaction of me telling them. I'm just going to put it up. It's out there for everyone to know now. And
yeah,
you know, so, but it was okay. Like, I know it sounds mad, like, you know, the way you're saying, like, it's a difficult conversation. I'm not, it's the weirdest thing, because I don't feel like it's difficult to talk about it.
I think what I'm referring to more than you being in a happy relationship now, I think it's always difficult to talk about the end of a relationship.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably more what I'm referring to. But I just, when I saw your post, I thought it was amazing. And I was so happy for you, because you could tell that you were in a really good place. And I think any of us, I suppose I was just somebody who admired your work. And I was like, wow, brilliant.
Thank
I had
you.
No idea. And I was just thinking, that's brilliant to see somebody.
It's probably because you're happy.
Yeah, I get your point.
I think
I get your point.
I feel like when people aren't happy in themselves, they can be very critical or very, and I think it's not even their fault. It's like, I think, you know, something like this, for example, this podcast, I would have shied away from listening to someone, like listening to me when I was unhappy.
Yeah, okay.
I found a lot of things triggering for me when I was unhappy. So, like, I'd see, for example, my sister who lived with us and who was going away to Bali the summer, like, I ended my marriage that, like, September. She was going away to Bali that summer for good. Now, she ended up coming back because she didn't like it.
Okay.
But I remember when she was going for good, I was in bits. I was in floods. I was like, please don't go. I am not, like, I don't want you to leave, but I'm also really happy for you. But inside, I even told her after this, I was like, I was so jealous of you. I was like, I wanted to get on that plane with you and go.
Yeah.
Do you know? And now I feel like I could. And there'd be nothing telling me I couldn't. Do you know? I would have shied away from seeing people put up, oh, I'm having a great time, or I've had this revelation.
Yeah.
Or because when something hits a nerve in you, it triggers you, you know, but like everybody knows, you know, deep down when you're unhappy, when something's wrong, you know it. Even if you deny it to yourself and deny it to other people.
Yeah.
That's what makes you sad and miserable. And that's what makes you comment and critique on people's lives, because you're not happy yourself.
Yeah, you're
I
so
think
right.
that's what
you're
it
so
is.
Right, yeah.
And it's not really that people are meaning to do it. They don't even realize they're doing it a lot of the time. It's just that they're not happy and they're not facing their inside gut feeling of whatever they're unhappy about. That's kind of what I was thinking.
Am I right in thinking then? So when you're talking about, you know, deciding just to do the post, you have some, you know, you've some good photos, you're ready, if the timing feels right to do it, that the transition from being perceived as a straight married woman mm-hmm. to now being in a same-sex relationship was a comfortable one for you to make.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, it's weird that...
That's brilliant.
Is it weird?
I think it's great. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
That that's the case. I suppose I didn't know whether that would have been a struggle to be perceived a certain way, because I think a lot of us put people in boxes. Our society puts people in boxes. Or this is this person, this is that person.
No,
but isn't
you're right.
That's lovely. It's really good to hear.
It's interesting how you say that, because I remember talking to my therapist about that. It was talking about fitting into a mold. Mm. And she was asking me about that before, like she was going through it all with me. And she's like, you know, you never made your own mold for, you know, to figure out how you were going to, I don't know what way she put it, I can't remember, but it was like you were trying to fit into someone else's mold all the time and you were never fitting, and that's what was feeling wrong all the time. You were trying to push yourself into this, you know. I was kind of thinking, okay, I finished school, I met a guy, I should get married now, I should get a house, maybe have kids. And that's another thing as well, I don't want children, and I think that has been gnawing away at me for years. But there was also this guilt where I was like, I need to give my mother-in-law and my mom a grandchild. And they were never pressuring me. But, you know, people were like, oh, well, when are you going to have kids? And, you know, it's a sore point, because people, again, it's like that thing where you can't be honest about it because people go down your throat over saying it. And I think people are able to talk about it a lot more now than they used to before.
I didn't expect the conversation to go this way.
I'm
actually really glad that it has, because I'll be honest, I get messages from people saying, you know, I listen to your podcast, I'd love you to cover this topic or that topic.
Mm-hmm.
And quite a few times I've had people message me saying, will you please talk to someone about not having kids out of choice?
Oh, that's interesting.
So you're after tapping into something unexpectedly that I think a lot of people actually want to hear.
Have you covered now?
Well, just in the sense that it feels like, oh, these are one of the things in life that we just don't talk about. But actually, lots of people don't want children.
Yeah.
And that's perfectly okay.
Yeah. It's like, even with going through it now, I'm going to come back in a sec. But even through, like, with the online coaching, which I'll talk about, learning about, like, women and hormones and the menopause and all, like, we went to a really interesting talk in England there in November about the menopause and, you know, periods and everything. Mm. The menopause as well, it's like that with kids. Another thing that's not talked about at all, and then women are like, their hormones bottom out and they are wondering why they feel the way they do. But it's the same, like, it's like so many issues surrounding women not talked about, because we are just expected to just bottle it up and get on with it, because we're the providers, we need to do this, we need to do that. But yeah, I kind of knew from a young age I didn't want kids. Now, I am totally open to change, because obviously we'll see what's happened to me. So I'm never going to say never with things in general in life. But when I was younger, like, my sisters would all sit around the TV and be like, oh my God, look at the Pampers ad. And or like, one born every minute. They were all mad for kids. And like, one of my sisters has my niece and nephew, and they're amazing. And like, she is such a great mom, but like, she always wanted to be a mom. Whereas I was loving, like, Animal Hospital. I love animals. So I was much more, oh, look at the baby kitten or the baby puppy. Whereas I saw a child, I was like, get that thing away from me, which is terrible. But like, obviously I would, like, I appreciate, like, children and I think they're amazing, but I'm just like, and now.
But not my own.
Not my own.
So I'm guessing this is a shared ethos between yourself and Louise.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. You need to be on the same page, hey?
Yeah, but it's also great because I've no worries about getting pregnant. Just putting it out there. Just wondering.
Another bonus.
Yeah. Another bonus. Stunning. No money on contraception. But yeah, it's just one of those things where it's like, it's great that she doesn't either, because obviously there's a lot of same-sex couples that that have
of course
kids or want kids.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's another big thing.
Yeah. So if one of you wanted to and the other didn't, that wouldn't be ideal. You'd have to work on a compromise there.
And we're both the same age as well. So like we're both 36 getting on. So if we wanted to have kids, we kind of need to be doing it now or thinking about it in the next few years. Well, my mom had my youngest sister at 42. So I mean, there's still we're just, we have two cats and
life is good. You're content.
They're my babies.
Yeah. So you put up the post and brilliantly, you're not terrified because you're in a good place yourself. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You just want to kind of get it over with and let people know in one, in one post rather than having to individually go around to everyone and say, so I have a bit of news.
Yeah, absolutely.
What was that feeling like getting, because I know you got a huge response, even from the likes of me, someone that you'd never met before who just follows your page for Gorgeous Cakes, who just saw your post, and I commented. I probably did at the time. But I'm sure you got an outpouring of support.
Yeah, everybody was really nice to me. Like, they were. It's hard to know, like, you know, what way people are going to respond. I was kind of half expecting, you just don't know if people are going to just suddenly be like, you don't know what their beliefs are or how they feel. Like, some people can be very against gay people, and I suppose I didn't realize that. I feel like I've skipped all that part of the struggle of coming out and stuff like that. Does that make sense? Because I don't know if it's just because of my age, or like when I read stories about people struggling and their family not accepting it, and there's just, I feel very lucky that I was able to come out and be, you know, it'd be so positive. And like, if anyone was going to talk badly about me, they can say it behind my back and I won't care and I won't know. So I am lucky, but I still feel almost like, I brushed past the hardship. Now, I'm not saying we won't go through hardship because we are gay, but I suppose if we travel, we have to be careful.
Okay.
Yeah, like if we were to go to Dubai and places like that, there's certain places that we'd be arrested and there's all sorts of stuff like that. So I didn't think about things like that. I'm very love is great. I suppose
the privilege that came with the air quotes straight life.
Yeah, you don't think about it.
You don't think about it.
I think how I feel about Lou is just like, I love her, like, and I don't see what the issue is.
Yeah.
And it's weird because I don't, like, until you've been in that situation, like, it's just, it's very odd. You're like, I don't get what the big fuss is about. Like, if you're not in a gay relationship, does it matter to you? Like, why are you so hateful?
Yes.
Yeah, so, but I was very lucky. Like, nobody was outwardly horrible to me.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to hear that.
Thank God.
And again, as you said, like, if they are, it's a reflection of their own unhappiness.
Yeah.
So, your mom, your sisters, when you told them, what were they like?
I'm lucky, as I said again, because my youngest sister is actually with a girl. She's been with her girlfriend for, I think, about 5 years now. So they were together before. So
did that make it easier for you?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, good.
Because I felt like my family would just be more accepting naturally.
Yeah.
But I think my family would accept that definitely. But it was hard because they were mourning too.
Yeah.
So like, they all got on very well with my ex, like, you know, like, because he'd been in the family for years. So I suppose they saw him like a part of the family as well. Like,
how long were you actually together?
Ooh, I think about 11 or 12 years.
Yeah, that's a chunk of time.
So it's like huge. Yeah,
it's a huge chunk of time. Yeah.
So it was hard. It was hard on them. It was hard just the adjustment of it.
Yeah.
But I think the fact that I was with a woman, that didn't matter. But my sister said to me, I remember telling her about it before I actually told my mom, and she just looked at me like, and she was like, it's so weird because I can see you now. She was like, and it's funny like how she said it. And then one of my other friends said to me, she's like, I always wondered, like, were you being honest with yourself? She's like, I don't know what it was about it, but I wondered that about you and I didn't want to ask.
So, interesting. She had a sixth sense for it. And did you ever have moments before, like in your teens or in your 20s, where you perhaps felt an attraction?
Once.
Okay.
Once.
And was this a push it down, push it down?
Yeah, of course.
Ignore.
No, I was about, I think I was about 17, 18. And I had a little bit of a kind of a thing for a girl, but very brief. Nothing happened. I just kind of had some feelings, but then it just went away and then I was like, just brushed off. But again, yeah. It was, I never allowed myself to explore anything.
Yeah.
In my 20s. I didn't explore my sexuality at all. So I was very, as I said, meet a guy, settle down. I'm in my 20s. Like, it was bizarre. Like, I look back and I thought, like, one of my good friends, she's mad as a box of frogs. Like, she is the funniest person. And she's like same age. Well, she's a year younger than me. She's so independent. She's actually not with anybody at the moment. Like, but she's like, the way I looked at her in my 20s, she would be out all the time. She'd be like doing all this crazy stuff, like going off with everyone. And she was like, I don't know. But at the time I was kind of jealous because I was like, what? Like,
yeah.
You know the way?
Yeah.
I was, which sounds mad, but I was like, oh, like she's kind of just being free. And I think it was that freedom that I was like, I really wanted to just be, yeah, free. Like, not, I felt trapped.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people, I wouldn't be surprised, as I said, like people listening to this, if they feel trapped in some way, regardless of what it is in their life, because we're just all made to make decisions and not understand the consequences. And it's very tough because like we're constantly evolving, we're constantly changing.
Yeah.
And it's important. That's why variety is the spice of life is the saying, because trying new things, doing new things, visiting new places, like it just makes, like they've proven it's good for your brain to do that and your brain develops. And I don't know.
We need to normalize changing our mind about things and being open to change.
Change is hard though, isn't it?
That's what it is. But it's so important. Like, I remember somebody saying to me as well, I met a guy I went out with and I met him years later and he said, you've changed so much. I was thinking,
duh.
That's the point. That's kind of the point of life.
Yeah, it's like when you stay the same,
it's like, that wouldn't be great. Yeah, of course I've changed.
You know,
but he was trying to say it as an insult. He was trying to offend me. Oh yeah, you're not saying you've changed. I was like, yep. I have.
You're like, is thank that you. An insult? Like, what? But it's like, you know, some people, they don't change. People are so afraid of change that they'd rather stay in the misery they know than face living a completely better life. Like, I knew if I really went through with ending my marriage, like, it's so hard to end it because there's so many times where you could go back. When you think about that, like, when you're the one that makes the decision to leave, you're the one that holds all the power, because the person, if they still want to be in the marriage, they're sitting there going, okay, will we get back together? Will we work on it? You have to be like, no, I can't. Where there's so many times where you're like, you're in pain and you're like, I could just go back. But to make the change and to see it through and to push through the uncomfort and to realize that on the other side of it is just happiness, the way you're supposed to live your life, just being who you are. It's mad.
Yeah.
But so many people are terrified. They're paralyzed by that fear of the unknown that they stay in. It's like the devil you know is better than the devil you don't, or whatever.
Yeah.
People are just afraid.
That's right. But even though when you're making a really tough decision, but when you know it's the right one, usually there is a sense of, it can be heartbreak, it can be pain, but it can also be relief.
Relief. Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it almost feels like a dream. Like there was a lot of times where I had a dream of my relationship breaking up. And in my dream, I felt relief.
Yeah.
And then I'd wake up and realize that it was a dream and it wasn't real. And that was horrific. Because then I was like, oh my God, no. Then I'd face it all over again.
Okay.
Horrible.
But well done for getting there, you know. Not easy for anyone. Breakups are awful.
Yeah.
They're awful for both, for both people, for every person involved. Mm-hmm. They just are. They're shit. But it's great when you do work on yourself. You're clearly continuing to mind yourself and you've entered into a completely different relationship. And I'm not just pointing out the obvious. Separate to the fact that you're both women, this is a totally different relationship for you.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
And you're different in the relationship.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because as I said, I'm actually talking.
Communicating. Yeah,
exactly. And if I'm upset or if I'm not in a good mood, I don't just act like I am. Like, I'm fine. I just, you know, I give into it. I'm like, okay, I'm actually feeling this way. And
yeah.
identifying your emotions as well is hard, because I remember in therapy sitting there, like, and I remember the therapist saying to me, like, how are you feeling now that you've said that? And I'm like, I don't know how I feel. It's like, I feel something, but I don't know. Like, I couldn't identify my emotions.
Yeah.
So very hard to understand your own self and your body, which sounds strange because you should be able to understand yourself because you're living in your own skin. But, you know, it's taken a lot of time to just identify my emotions and how I feel in certain things. But
because you were disconnected.
Disconnected.
Yeah.
That's a great way. Disconnected from everything. Yeah. Not being mindful, not being present. Present. That's a thing. Because when you're anxious, you're constantly living in the future all the time. You're anticipating everything and worrying about everything that you're not actually. The amount of times I lost in situations because I was so anxious that I wasn't listening to what someone was saying to me because I was just constantly living in the adrenaline future. So yeah. Mm.
So living in your body now, in your physical body, right? And it's connected now and you're able to be present and your emotions are in a state of calm and you're clear of thought. It's a gorgeous feeling, isn't it?
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I can't remember ever feeling like this before now, which is mad. Like, I can't remember through my childhood feeling like this. I was always worried. I was always anxious. All my teenage years, same. On my 20s, the same. So to feel like this now is, yeah, it's pretty amazing. I just feel so content in myself. And it's amazing. Yeah. I'm just really happy.
Yeah, so happy
steadily.
For you.
Thanks.
And it's, you know, it's taken a lot of
work
and looking at yourself and examining yourself and all that goes with it. But it's so worthwhile, isn't it, when you do start to invest in yourself.
Yeah. And just accepting yourself, accepting who you are, no matter what comes with that.
Yeah. So again, I'm flitting.
Yeah, come on,
flitting
you're
a
fine.
Little bit. Right. So we're down in Wexford. It's COVID. You've taken a step back from the business. But then when does, like, I know we've already talked about it, I just want to make sense of the gym life and the online and just kind of get into that a little bit, because that's really interesting, because you're still in this, you're like, not alone are you in a romantic relationship, but you also have a business, connection as well. So, okay, so you're working out in the gym and you meet Louise because she's a personal trainer.
Yeah. So basically what happened was Louise was an examiner. So when I did my exams for my PT course during COVID, she was my examiner.
Okay.
So she was terrifying. She's very scary when you don't know her. Well, I always say that to her. She can be quite intimidating. I think it's just her resting face, her resting bitch face. But she scared me and I knew she was going to, like, she was going to give me a fair exam because there was another guy who was the examiner on the day and he was passing everyone and she had failed two people.
Okay.
But I was terrified. I was like, oh my God. But anyway, I passed. It was grand. And afterwards, she actually, how we got working together was I actually worked for her.
Okay.
So there you go. So she had her own small semi-private gym in Wexford.
Yes.
So semi-private is like, you know, it's not like a big commercial gym. You come in, you book in a session, you've got your own area to train.
Yes.
And so I went and worked for her. So that's kind of how we got together. And I think as well, she was my boss. So she was very respectful and never crossed any lines. That's why, like, when I told her, it was towards the end and we didn't tell anybody openly until she had closed her gym and moved online.
Ah, very good.
Because,
I getcha.
You know, it was very much we wanted to be respectful to everyone there too and not be pulling any of that personal stuff into her business either.
Oh, okay, yes.
So then she went online and so it was kind of like she had the business for years and she was just, it was kind of the natural progression to move it online because we wanted to do more traveling and kind of, she was very, like, it was tied to a building. It's great and all, but like, the building she was in, there was a lot of issues with it. It was an older building. So she was like, oh, I've just had enough of this now. Like, I'm going to try and take it online now. So, but it's deadly. Like,
so
it's
badass coaching.
Badass coaching.
And you're both involved.
We're both involved. So I'm like, she's the head coach in terms of doing the programming. And I'm like, I do all the graphics and the VA stuff.
Because you're an artist.
Yes, because I love all that. But also yeah. I'm doing all the, we're doing up all different types of manuals and things like that just to educate the women a bit more about, like I was talking about earlier, about the menopause, about periods, about training and nutrition around periods and hormones and all that kind of stuff, pre and postnatal, all that kind of thing. So yeah, so we're doing that. We're kind of doing that together. So it's really
fantastic.
Cool. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
And all the while you're doing that, you're also back with like you're
doing
gung-ho with cakes. So how are you managing all of that? And is your schedule out the door or are you better now at saying no?
Yeah, much better at saying no. Okay. I think like how I got into doing like the nutrition and training side of things is because I was so stressed with work. The gym was my outlet.
Yeah.
So like I had a really close gym by like my brother. Well, he's not my technically my brother-in-law, but my sister is like they're together and have kids.
Yeah.
So he has a gym, a small semi-private gym. It's now a commercial gym called DSE in Dublin. So he like I would was only down the road from that. So I would go there and I would just strength train. And like I really enjoyed that because I think when you are working out or when you're focusing on an exercise, it's the toughness of that exercise that you have to focus on. You can't be worrying and thinking about other things.
So you're very much present moment
yeah.
aware.
And I'd never had anything like that I could focus my sole attention to without thinking and worrying all the time because everything else, it just bled into everything else. So yeah. I think that's how I got into that and ended up loving that. So during COVID, I was like, when I took a break from the cakes, I was like, well, I try do this. So I kind of have a good balance there with both. So yeah, I really enjoy it because like it's such a huge part of my life. So I love helping and educating, training other women to understand how to, you know, look after themselves and to pushing this psychology side of it to the mindset side and being like, you know, looking at why you're feeling like you're not happy. And
yeah,
there's a lot to it. It's not just nutrition and training, it's mindset too. So it's cool. So I tend to try and divvy it out between that and the cakes, but it's working really well for me because I kind of pick when I want to do my cakes. So at wedding orders now, like I take on which ones I want on the dates I want. And then for example, like with the online stuff, we can go away. So if I have a quiet period, like we can travel and work online.
Yeah.
With that, so it's really cool because I love to go away and she does as well. So that's class. That's probably the best thing about it.
It feels like you're just having another opportunity at a fresh opportunity at life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's glad. Great. Oh, it's amazing. I'm so happy. Honestly.
Life is really good now. Building on what you have now, where would you like things to progress to in an ideal world, an ideal scenario over the next few years? What do you think?
I think I would like to definitely travel more, but if we can build the online community a bit more and solely focus a certain amount of months on working online and being able to travel.
Yeah.
And then maybe a few months where I'm busy with the cakes or doing classes, which I love teaching.
Yes.
So I love teaching cakes. I love teaching skills to people. So I love that as well. I've never been just happy every day. You know, I was always living for something. Like I was always booking holidays. Like my favorite holiday ever is Florida, is going to the theme parks. I love that.
Okay.
Love it.
You love a good roller coaster.
I live for it. And Halloween and all that, you know, mad stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would always be booking a holiday and I'd be living for that. I'd be working for that. So every day I'd get up and I'd be like, I just have to keep going till the holiday. And then I'd get back from the holiday and I'd be depressed out of my head. Like I'd be so sad because I'd be back to normal life.
Yeah.
And like a few days before I'd even go home, I'd be anxious thinking about going home.
Okay.
So I was like, I was living for my holidays and nothing else. But now it doesn't matter if I'm going away or if I'm staying here, I'm just happy. Like I just feel like even day to day stuff, I'm not, whereas like things would stress me out and upset me beforehand. Don't really anymore. You know, I think it's like, you know, that bucket thing where they say if your bucket is overflowing and you've no outlet, it's just going to keep one little thing can cause you to just blow up. I think I was like that before, but now I have like a tap. I have an outlet of things that make me happy. Just downtime as well. Knowing when to rest yourself and not push and say no. A lot of bats. I love bats.
Yeah.
And I'll bath in a bath bomb. But just like little things, things yeah. that make you happy, like
absolutely.
Coffee in the morning with your...
And it's important that we all know what works for us, because it's different. It can yeah. be similar, but it can be different for us. What is that thing that'll make us feel better and make us feel more in our bodies as well and more absolutely. Relaxed and mm-hmm. calm and grounded? For somebody listening now, right, who was attracted to listen to this episode for a myriad of reasons, but maybe one of the reasons is somebody who's not living the life that they want or feels stuck, feels caged, trapped, whatever it is. What would you say to them?
Oh God, it's very, like, it's very hard, because I've been to the depths of that and feeling like I'm never going to get out and there's not going to be a way out because I'm too afraid and I just can't, do you know? And I think, like, for someone who's feeling like that, it's very hard to ever think of being brave and pushing forward. But I think if you know that there's good on the other side, it's easier to make that change. I think you just need to be brave. Like, it's like, I always use that thing, as my mom used to be absolutely wild for that Susan Jeffers book, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway.
Okay,
she's
yeah.
always have it, like,
yeah.
And actually I got it on an audio book the other day. I have to listen to it because I'm like, I'm going to listen to it again. But that was the saying that I took with me into a lot of things when I was so afraid to do something. I was like, just feel the fear. You're going to be afraid, but just do it. It doesn't matter if you're scared, just you have to do it anyway. And I think that's what I would say to someone. It's like, you have to make the decision to change, because like, I am 100 million times happier now that I've made my decision. And even though I caused a lot of pain to myself and to other people and to my ex-husband, like, I wouldn't change what I did for anything, for anybody in a million years.
Mm.
Even though I went through the pain, you have to go. It's like, I don't necessarily believe in no pain, no gain. But then again, I do, because it's like, it's not even just about physical, it's about mental too. Like, you can't go, you can't gain anything really. Like, you can't gain real change and real lasting change and real happiness until you go through a painful period, because you have to. It's just like a transition or a transition
yeah.
period.
Yeah. Yeah. It's part of the process, mm. isn't it?
So you just have to prepare yourself for the pain, because it will come, but you have to be brave.
Kat, thanks a million. You have inspired me so much.
Oh, thank you.
By listening to you. And I know it will do the same for those who listen. So
thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thanks for being here.
Great
really
chat.
Powerful stuff. An amazing chat. Yeah. Really, really grateful. And thank you for the cakes.
Oh, you're so welcome. I hope you enjoy them.
I cannot wait to have a big mug of tea now and some cake.
I'm glad you like cake.
I love cake.
Some people don't like cake. You know, when someone says to me, like an Irish person says to me that, like, I don't like cake, I'm like, okay, but you like tea and coffee. And when someone says they don't like tea, like, are you Irish if you don't like tea? I can't cope. But then there's another whole debate, like Barry's or Lyons, do you know?
Oh, yeah. Well.
No, don't tell me now.
No, well, I mean, it has to be.
Go on.
It has to be Barry's.
Yes.
Has okay, to be.
Thanks.
Sorry.
Thank
no
God.
Shade to Lyons, but
thank
you know.
God. Sorry, Lyons. Sorry.
Barry's.
Barry's all the way, Grant.
I'll accept any paid endorsements. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Barry's.
And I can confirm that Kat's cakes were absolutely delicious. If you want to connect with her, simply go to the show notes for contact details. And you'll also find her on Instagram at The Cake Cuppery. And please spread the word if you like the podcast. I would be so grateful. Thank you so much for listening to Ready to Be Real.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.